Hello, Scrubbers. It's Mark and Easton.
Hello.
And we did something special because this is the 100th Scrubbing In with Becca and Tanya podcast. And so what we've done is there are giant balloons behind their chairs that say 100, which is 100.
That's right.
And then we have 100 flowers and we have 100 carrots and celery sticks and then 100 French fries. And you understand that the fries are for Becca and the celery sticks and carrots are for Tanya.
Painstakingly counted by both Mark and myself.
Yes, it is exactly 100. Yeah. So we're going to bring them in here now. They don't know that we've started recording the show, and we'll leave all the microphones on so you can hear their reaction to it. Okay, here we go.
All right, come on in. Woo!
This is so... What is this? 100! Whoa! French fries! This is so cute!
Look at our fam!
What you don't know is
yay! 100 episodes! Holy cow!
What you don't know is we're already recording. This is all part of the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Easton and I did a little open.
First of all, this is the best part, is that there's carrots and celery and then French fries for Becca.
100 of each.
100
oh,
of
my
each.
God! That's so cute!
100 of each.
You guys are the best!
Wait, this is going to be my juice in the morning.
Each stick.
Did you skip your celery juice today? Because that's perfect if you did.
I didn't. I drank it this morning.
All right. Headphones on. We are. We're recording. This is. We're going. The show's on. You guys are snacking.
Eating.
I'm sorry. Well, here. We'll play the intro while you guys snack.
Oh, I'm good.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rapp, an iHeartRadio and People's Choice Award nominated podcast.
Oh.
See what we did?
When'd you do that?
It's an Easton project.
Sneaky dickery dog.
Saved it from last year.
Oh.
Wow. I'm eating my fries.
Well, congratulations on 100 episodes.
Yeah. Are you kidding? Congratulations to everyone
Everybody
in the room.
Involved.
The reason why this show is what it is because of every single person in this room.
Well, thank you.
That's true. And I can't see you, so I'm going to move this. But I also love like roses with sans water.
Oh, yeah.
Just, hey, it's not 100 water drops, all right?
That's true. That's true. That is so good. That is so nice. Are there 100 roses?
There are 100
oh
roses.
Oh, my God. Fancy.
And, of course, you should also thank. There's 23,993 people you should thank.
In the Facebook group.
That's how many there are in there right now.
That's, they really need a, wow.
Are you looking at my fries? I saw it. And a glance.
Wondering where they came from.
Shake Shack.
Mm. Shake Shack. Yeah, thank you, Shake Shack, for the French fries. They're all over the world. They're in like 20 states. Go to Shake Shack. Find one near you.
Wow. It feels good to be here, guys.
It feels really good. We've already, we've been out of the studio for a few weeks now, a couple weeks.
Yeah. And whilst I enjoy traveling, I do enjoy being home with the fam and really just... getting into
it's been a while. You were in New York, you're in San Francisco, finally you're home.
We're
in your home studio with the big 100 above you.
The big 100.
Did we know that it was 100? I just like happened to go look at the app and I saw 100 episode and it happened to be our friend's episode and I was like, that is so epic. Did we know?
Well, Tori keeps track of these things. You say it wasn't the Friends episode?
No, it's this episode.
Because you put up
teasers.
A teaser, and I think that might...
Oh. So minus those, it's the 100.
I would trust Tori on this one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I'm going to trust Tori too. The teasers were when I was sans Tanya, so...
Mm, the dark days.
The dark days.
There was a cloud,
we
and we didn't know
why. We don't talk about those episodes.
You guys, there's like...
Okay, let's not... put me down.
They were delightful episodes.
Delightful.
I just had to like, I would look at Easton and Mark and Amy and be like, can someone chime in with me? I'm like doing a monologue.
Monologue.
I'd
like Phoebe Waller-Bridge status.
What?
Like Phoebe Waller-Bridge status.
Becca, have you watched Fleabag?
No.
God, I loved it. I loved every second of that show.
I just finished season 2 and I'm so obsessed. I want her as a guest on the morning show. I've been like begging for her to come in this week because the Emmys are on Sunday. And I'm like, she's got to be in town because I don't know where she lives. She doesn't have Instagram. Otherwise, I'd be in her DM faster than you could say DM.
If you don't know, Fleabag is a show on Amazon Prime Video. It was originally a BBC show. There was a season in 2016 that they just did a second season, and it's really phenomenal. And everyone says, well, it's not for everybody, and it's very divisive, and you never know. But I thought it was fantastic.
The reason why I love it so much is because I love her. Like, I feel like she took like lemons. She made lemonade out of lemons in her life, and it was like started out as this like monologue.
It's a one woman show.
It's a one woman show, and then she developed it into a TV show. And then like that just like skyrocketed, and then she started writing. She wrote the first season of Killing Eve, and now she's doing James Bond, and she's like such a modern woman, and she's so badass, and I'm obsessed with her, and I can't wait to talk about her. Like, anytime that they come to me for the Emmys cover coverage, I'm gonna be like, where's Phoebe Waller-Bridge? Mm-hmm. She's like I'm like zoned in on her.
Okay, it's 12 episodes, they're 25 minutes long. You'll burn through it.
Yeah,
great. I've been looking for a new show to watch.
Great. There you go.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Too long.
I saw you at Laura's birthday party at my house.
That's the last time I saw you?
Well, that was... Yeah.
I don't like that.
That was over a week ago.
Yeah.
But I was like gone too. I saw you and then I left, and Laura and I like went up the coast and had a nice little, you know, road trip.
I don't like
that. But I got to meet someone very special on at that birthday party.
She did.
Oh, what do we call him on this show? I don't remember.
Senor.
Oh, Senor Butterfly.
Senor Butterfly. And now, another Senor Butterfly update from Tanya and Becca.
So
what'd you think?
They came late because y'all had another party to go to.
Yes.
And they brought in roses and... Did y'all bring wine or something?
No, just roses.
Beautiful roses for Laura. And Senor really just worked the room. Like, everyone was like, oh my gosh, Tanya's guy is so great.
He's so, so great.
Allie was like raving about him, and she rarely does that about anyone. She was like, I was into him. He was so cute. He was like so social and like comfortable around all these strangers.
I know. And that's the thing. Like, so this was the second group of friends that I'd brought him in around. The weekend prior, I brought him around a different group of friends of mine. And like seeing him around my friends, like really made me like him even more, because I could just kind of, I mean, I obviously would never just like leave him anywhere and just like go rogue and walk around or whatever, but like he really can hold his own and he can make conversation with anybody. And like he was talking to somebody about some college basketball team and like, you know, just stuff that I don't even know about. And I was like, ah, like it's so hot when a guy can just like hold his own. And then when we went to Becca's, it was more of a smaller intimate group. And like he was doing the same thing. He was just totally holding his own, like talking to everybody.
Well, we had a ping pong table set up and we were playing, and you know, it's like pretty competitive. I'm a very competitive ping pong player. And I was like, Senor, do you play ping pong? And he was like, oh, like I dabble a little bit. And I could tell that he was like playing it down, like he was really good at it, but was like, yeah, I dabble. So I was like, all right, I'll get to him later. I was undefeated. Played him, still undefeated. And then towards the end of the night, Tanya was like, y'all should play again because I feel like he needs redemption. So we played again. He beats me.
And then that was a high note. I was like, all right, and we're leaving.
I was like, no. I don't end on a tie. It's not in my nature. So we played again and he won.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes into my party, beats me in my own game.
But aside from that, you liked him?
I thought he was wonderful.
I know.
And I liked, you know, he was, you could tell he was zoned in that I was like the best friend and he was trying to like,
deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he did a very good job.
Yeah. I definitely think he felt like the importance, a significance of that.
Mm-hmm.
But just so things are going well.
Things are going well.
But to clarify, you do not have a boyfriend.
I do not have a boyfriend.
But if someone asked you on a date, you would say no.
I think I'm at that point, yeah, where I'd say
I thought you had a talk about that.
We didn't really have a talk. Like, we didn't really, like, come to that decision together. He kind of, I know, it's all kind of murky, but he told me that he is intentionally dating me and only me. I didn't, like, say it back.
Why not?
Well, because the reason why we got on the subject was because my coworker had tried to set me up with somebody.
Oh, right.
Like, it was just, like, a lot of minutia, whatever, back and forth. And so that's what kind of prompted him to say that. And I didn't say it back. I was just like smiled. But I think it kind of goes without saying.
Okay. So you're basically seeing each other exclusively.
Yeah.
However, as we've learned on the morning show, that does not mean you're in a relationship.
Correct.
Which is bizarre to me. Becca, do you understand that? And do you agree with that?
I'm just confused because I feel like that is like you playing games by you not saying it, telling him back that you're exclusively dating him.
No, I'm honestly not trying to play games.
Like, but I think it came across that way. It made him feel probably like, oh, wait, she didn't say it back. So that makes me feel
no,
a little...
he definitely knows that, like, I don't want to just be dating him. I've said that to him.
Okay, so you said, so he's the one that's kind of holding the relationship from being boyfriend-girlfriend status.
Yeah.
But like, but y'all kind of are boyfriend. Like, without the official title, you kind of are at that status.
No. Because you like, isn't there like a step? I feel like there's a step.
This is what
that
we've
we're
been
missing.
Going back and forth about the morning show with Ryan.
Of him asking officially.
Yeah,
aside
yeah,
from
yeah.
that, though,
yeah.
It's just a title.
Yeah.
It's weird to ask officially. It seems very high school to say, will you be my girlfriend?
Right.
It seems like it should
it
go without
happened.
Saying. Yeah.
I don't know when that happens. It definitely hasn't happened yet.
Well, wait, but if it goes without saying, isn't that what you are?
I don't think it goes without saying. I feel like it's a conversation.
I think you need to communicate, like, and I think you need to be specific because I think you're just assuming that he knows, and I don't know that he does.
Yeah, I also just think I need to, like, be patient because it really has only been, like, a month, and I think, I mean, I haven't actually want, like, dating to me is so, like, comes easy, and, like, I've dated a bunch of people, and I've never wanted to take this next step with anybody, so I feel like for me, I, like, want to make that happen, but I also need to like respect his patience or whatever, however amount of time he needs. I don't know.
What if like, what about what this happens? You guys go out to like dinner and then he says to the hostess like, oh, can I get a table for my girlfriend and I, and then like winks at you. Like he just like slides it in.
Oh, just slides it in. There's I'd
no,
be like,
or even
whoa.
No wink. Not, you know, the
I mean, yeah, the wink's
obvious,
cartoony.
But if he just kind of says it, this is my girlfriend Tanya, then I think that's, then you're in, right? Then you don't have to have a conversation.
Yeah, I would like,
you'd
draw
like a
I would draw attention to it. I'd be like, oh, girlfriend, huh? Is that right? When did that happen?
Why does that seem so unlikely that that happens that way?
Yeah, it's not going to happen that
well,
way.
Well, as a guy, though, I'd rather do it that way than have a conversation. There's something very intimidating about a conversation.
We're
going to sit down at a table and have a discussion. If I can throw it into a conversation, throw it into an interaction with somebody else... And there it is. And now I don't have to have the conversation. That's a win for me.
Yeah. What if we went on a double date and then I was like, so is Tanya your girlfriend?
I love that. Do that.
Oh, that's good.
I think that I'm just like, I think that it's like so good that I'm starting to get like scared. And I know that that shouldn't be the case, but I'm starting to like just get scared.
Because you're falling.
Okay. Well, Mark.
What? Isn't that right?
He's like a Bachelor producer.
You're falling.
So Mark's like pulling it out.
And it's scary to fall. I get that. When you start to feel those feelings of falling, that was a nice little turn of phrase I just had there. it gets scary.
Yeah.
Because that's when it's going to hurt if it goes away.
Yeah. So I think I'm just kind of a little bit, like, I think I'm scared and I'm just trying to just go with the flow, even though that's like so not my nature. I'm like, not go with the flow. Like, I'm Susie, not go with the blood.
Are you still super excited to see him? Or
every
are you,
time.
Okay, and do you want more time?
Always.
Like,
is it,
okay. And you get, like, giddy when you... Are there any things where, other than the, like, official boyfriend, girlfriend, is there anything where you're like, eh, not sure?
I just don't know how into me he is. If that, like, I guess... But I guess that just comes with time. I don't know.
But what makes you question how into you he is?
I don't know.
Like your own insecure, like things you made up
yeah,
in your head?
That could be.
Probably. Yeah.
Because I did not get a vibe. I got a very strong vibe that he was very into you being around y'all.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think you're like really in your head.
Let me
like,
ask you this. We've gotten the first kind of mentions and stuff of the Ryan Seacrest holiday party. Will he be attending the Ryan Seacrest holiday party?
That just seems so like, I don't know. We haven't
it's not.
Made
it's like two a little over 2 months from now.
I know. And so I guess where my hesitation comes from is like we haven't talked about any like we don't really talk about future plans. We just like make plans
That's
the week of.
Hmm.
You know?
Right. You're not going to have a Halloween couples costume.
Right. We haven't talked about Halloween at all.
Why? It's right around the corner.
My neighbors have decorated. It's time to have this costume.
It is time. It is time.
And I do actually like you going as Fleabag and the Hot Priest together. I think that's fantastic.
Somebody from the morning show said, if he dresses as Post Malone, you need to be a Bud Light can. And I thought that was so clever.
Oh my gosh. Because that is so funny.
Post Malone always has his Bud Light with him.
But you would never bring up the idea of a couple's costume because you feel like that would be putting too much pressure on things.
Yeah. Or like scare him. I don't know.
Halloween's a scary time.
It is. You know, it's
spooky.
It's almost built for that.
When are you seeing him next?
I don't know. This week's really tricky because we're going to Vegas for the festival and then I have Emmys on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So like this week is going to suck.
What about tonight, tomorrow, yeah, or Wednesday?
Right.
I have a fitting hair spray tan.
But he could come over and hang out at the house, no?
Well, I'm like naked getting a spray tan?
Well, no, but like maybe when you're like studying or whatever.
Hey, can help you study. That's so
cute.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, maybe.
Oh, him doing like flashcards with you?
I love it. And every time you get it right, you get a kiss.
Do that.
Tanya hates us right now.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Like, I'll name the actor. You tell me the show. Here we go. That'd be so fun.
You know what's fun? What's interesting, though, is that that's not the way I'm studying for this Emmys round.
Okay.
Like, I'm, like, more focused on, like, the stories and, like, the actors versus, like, the shows.
And while we're talking about it, where can people see you on Sunday?
I'm going to be on Live from the Red Carpet on E! And I'm very excited about it.
What time?
I was just giving you a clap. No one joined.
Thank you so much.
That is great. We're so proud.
Thank you. I'm really excited and like actually freaking out because the Emmys to me is like a big freaking deal. I think it's different time.
It might be different times in different time zones, but if you give us one, we can then extrapolate the rest.
It's Live from the Red Carpet 2019 Emmy Awards special Sunday, September 22nd from 6 p.m. ET, 3 p.m. PT.
Oh, wow.
So PT is our time.
Understood, but that's good. I feel like that's close to the actual show. And the closer you get to the show, the better the viewership you're going to have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the higher profile show leading right up to that.
That's great. That's wow. Ryan's old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Freaking out. But that's what I'm saying. I don't think having him at my house helping me study for it is going to like, I couldn't even watch a TV show with him around because I just want to like kiss him.
Well, that's why you got to do flashcards and you have to earn the kisses.
I'm going to be like, you don't have to earn any of this.
All right. So
okay.
All right. Well, things are going well. I think that's the lesson here today. But hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll have another level achieved.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have dude brain. And you two are very different types of dude brains.
Amy and I always clarify that it was 22 years ago, but this conversation never happened. It was always assumed from day one that there was nobody else and they were boyfriend, girlfriend immediately.
Right.
Yeah, I've always said I was a big fan of having the shall we go steady conversation, but with Allison, it was more like boiling a frog. Like I was raising that heat ever so slightly, and before she knew it, we were married.
Wow.
I don't recommend that.
Before she knew it, we were married.
Did you guys have the conversation?
Yeah, but like we said, I love you before we even I mean, it was very much like assumed.
See, that's the thing. I think when it's right and when it works, it's assumed. And I'm not saying that's not the case for you that it's not right and it's working. I think maybe it is.
Right.
You've never talked about it. He may be all in.
Right.
But I told Tanya, so Robert was my very first relationship, like a relationship where it was like committed. We were official. And I was so scared for so long to like commit to that because I was so used to being single. And I get if he's like hesitant to not give it up, but like change that. I get that fear or that hesitation.
I guess we'll see.
And I know that like Robert and I aren't together anymore.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't love that comparison because you guys are no longer together.
But that happened later. I think in the beginning, I knew that I liked him for like months before I was like able to finally be like, okay. Because I remember he was going to start, you know, he was like dating and seeing other people. And I was like, no, don't want that.
Yeah.
So feel things are good. I like that you're just like being patient, but I do think at some point, if you're starting to feel frustrated or that things aren't happening for you, I think you need to like be straight up and just say something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Lisa Schwartz, we should get her in here.
Oh, yeah.
She has a new book, 30 Life Crisis, Navigating My 30s One Drunk Baby Shower at a Time.
Seems it's like very something, applicable.
Yes, relatable. She is coming up next. And then if there's anything else we need to get into, we'll talk to him after Lisa.
All right, so we have a very special guest today. I talked to her a little bit outside before she came into the studio, but we have Lisa Schwartz here. Whoa, that was a tongue twister for me.
Yes, you did it.
You have a new book.
I do.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
So we figured out we have met before because we did a panel on E! News together regarding The Bachelor.
Yes. And they called me a bachelor. What do they say? A fan?
A super fan.
Super fan.
Oh,
and
wow.
I wanted to die. I was so embarrassed.
Wait, that's so cute.
Is it though?
Yeah. The funny thing is when you said that, I literally remember that moment when they introduced you and you were like, oh, okay. I'm a super fan today.
I guess I am. Because I was hosting, like, we had an after show for a little while through The Bachelor called Will You Accept This Ride? Where I just, like, got drunk in a limo and interviewed people from The Bachelor. And so I got into that world, and then I'm a super fan, I guess. But I do talk about The Bachelor a lot in the book.
So do you watch it? You do watch the show?
I do.
Okay.
I'm a little behind on Paradise. There's just so much of it.
Yeah.
It's just so much. It's also, like, so dramatic right now.
I know.
And I just am a little exhausted.
Can I be honest? I was so excited about this season. And every week I notice myself looking at the clock being like, I still have another hour. And then I have tomorrow still.
Yeah, that makes me feel better.
Okay, yeah.
It's just difficult to watch for some reason this season.
I'm not emotionally invested in any of them for some reason.
I know, me.
And it's like they're coupling up. So I'm like happy that it's working. But yet I'm not like emotionally invested in one single couple.
I agree.
Not one.
I agree.
But are they coupling up because that's what you have to do to stay on the show? Or are they coupling up because
that's maybe what it feels like? Because yeah. I don't feel like love. I just like, I'm like, they're all just making out everywhere.
Well, it's like a game right away. Mm-hmm. Like they hopped in so hardcore, so fast.
Yeah.
They like,
it was
cling
like,
on.
Feel like yeah. super genuine. But
does anyone ever tell you look like Michelle Williams?
All the time.
Yeah. Wow.
It's kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah.
It yeah is. All the time. I wish I had her career, yeah. But I'm just a Bachelor super fan.
You,
so.
you should audition to be her stunt double
no
or something.
Kidding. Yeah.
No, for real.
I know, except I can't do stunts. I'm a weenie. I'm scared of everything.
Maybe her
just
stand,
her double. Her stand, yeah, her double. Stand in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it works.
If all else fails.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a lot going on. It's not like you're just sitting around at home.
Well, yeah. Trying to catch up on The Bachelor in Paradise.
So this book we were talking earlier, it's pretty much every 30-year-old's life right now.
Yeah. It's called 30 Life Crisis.
It is. It's all about things people never warned me about the 30s. Like you always heard about the quarter life crisis.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the chicken soup for the quarter life crisis. And my quarter life, I was just like blackout drunk having a great time.
Yeah.
And then I entered 30s and I was like, oh wait, can I cuss?
That's fine. Sure, blurry.
Okay,
so
okay.
Just be yourself. Yeah.
I was so like surprised by how difficult, like half my friends quickly got married and started having kids. Half of them were still partying and I was like in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's been a mental mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, totally. It's so interesting because it's like you have these friends, like I have friends that are in their 30s and they're like married, having multiple children.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have friends in their 30s that are still single and then some attached. It's like a wide spectrum. And then I have some friends that are super young, but I'm like, I mean, I'm kind of friends with you because I have to keep up in the, you know what I mean? I have to keep going out and like, do you know what I mean? I'm a single girl.
Because you're single, right?
Yeah. So it's like,
don't you find it kind of challenging? Because there's all these, I just read an article today that drove me nuts about like, it was like when people think we should be married by, and it said 27 and I was like, are you kidding? At 27, I was a mess. Like I can't even imagine. The person I was dating at age 27 would be a terrible partner for me.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff, though, like really starts to wear and tear on you when society says you're supposed to do it this certain way.
Yeah.
And you're like on a whole different path
I had like a moment. I was coming back from a baby shower in Texas, and all of my girlfriends from college, all my best friends, are married, and most of them have had children at this point and still single. And we had her shower in Texas, and I remember being on the plane back to LA, and I was so, I'm not sad about my state of season of life, but in that moment, this was a few years ago, I was so sad. Like, I will never forget that plane ride because it was one of the saddest plane rides.
I remember that.
Do you really? I went so dark because it was the same weekend that my ex, the one that like gutted me, got married as well. So it was just like this plethora of emotion going through. And like, it is, it's such a mind f- because you're just like constantly feeling like I don't feel this pressure, but then I feel the pressure. Like, exactly. I don't think I'm at the place where I need to, like, I don't need to be getting married right now, but I feel like I need to be getting married right now. So it's like this weird thing in your head.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to remind people, like, you're allowed to do it your own way. Yeah. And I feel like more and more now that's happening, but the society standards still seem pretty like old school. So,
well, it's funny because I do the same thing. I'm like in a happy place. I don't feel this pressure to get married. I don't feel this pressure to have kids. And then we have like a very active Facebook group for the podcast. And I get on there and they like post a lot of their like, you know, they post a lot of things that they want advice on. And it gets deep a lot of the times. And I'll read some of them and I'm like, should I be thinking about these? Should I be freezing my eggs? Should I be like,
oh yeah. That conversation. Every time I go to the doctor, they tell me I should freeze my eggs. And it takes me for a dark.
You need to go to my doctor. My doctor is like chilling. She's like, you do not even need to like go. I was going to go to a specialist to see just because I think it's important. You don't have to just be like, I'm going to freeze my eggs. It's like, let's see if I've got a lot of eggs to work with first. So you can go to a specialist. And my doctor was like, you don't even need to go there right now.
Give me her info or his info, please. Yes. Yeah. It just drives me to drink more. So all my eggs are drunk. I don't know.
They're drunk swimming around, not knowing the direction they're going in.
But it's true. Like, I was reading on the back of your book where it says, like, gender reveal parties. That's an actual thing now. And it's like, there's so many things. I feel like I've gone to so many things for, like, weddings and bridal showers and bachelorettes and baby showers and gender reveals and, like, toe reveals and, like, all of these things. Like, I don't know. It's just, like, there's always something. I'm like,
and how much money have you spent on that? It's insane. They should pay us back. I really think so. Or the people that are now getting divorced and you, like, bought gifts for them. Like, I feel like you should get them back. It's not fair.
Are you... You're currently in a relationship.
I am,
happy,
yes.
A healthy, happy relationship.
Happy, healthy, which is funny because I wrote this book. It's been, like, a two-year process. So I went through a breakup during the book. And like the book encompasses my single life, but then like right after I finished, I met my boyfriend. Aww, so now he has to reread my book and ask me all these questions on Bumble.
Wow, we love old fashioned the old fashioned way.
It's really like the way. I don't know. I don't go out that much, so it's like hard to meet.
Okay,
people.
But this is actually good because a lot of our Facebook group are in the dating apps, and they like don't know what to say or what's a good opening line.
Yeah.
What did you use?
What was your pickup line? Because Bumble girls go first.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I screenshot it, but I don't remember. I always try to like just make a joke.
Hey. Oh, joke.
Oh, never a hey. I'm not a hey kind of girl. I have to like. I like to take the bull by the horns and make a joke. Something personalized to like their
profile.
Yeah. Like if they can keep up with the wit, then we're good.
That's
I'm
this
the
girl.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a hey girl?
Oh yeah.
She's like happy Saturday.
That was to Matthew Perry, by the way, wasn't it?
Yeah, Matthew Perry.
I talked to Matthew Perry on a dating app. Wait. Is this on Raya?
Did he respond?
Oh my God. Okay, so I signed up for Raya for the first time. This was like a long time ago. He was the first person I matched with, and I had a very bizarre conversation. I wonder, we should...
compare. No, I deleted it since. I think I did too,
because they get mad at you if you screen. That is so funny.
Did you get mad if you screenshot it? I got it flagged. I was like, oh, sorry.
Oh my God, that's... we will compare.
Yeah.
He never responded though, did he?
No, I don't think I didn't have any open dialogue with Matthew Perry.
Oh, I've got stories, but I won't say it on
Happy
here.
Saturday.
I'll tell you guys after.
Happy Saturday did not.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet him off of it?
Oh, no.
No, just talking on the app. Okay.
It got weird.
Did you ever meet Josh Groban on there?
No, did you? How'd it go?
That went pretty far.
That did, because we all helped her with her responses.
Oh, so she was
incredibly
great.
Good with her responses.
How
and then the
go?
Second she was left on her own, it was over.
Yeah, we were like, he asked me a question on like a Saturday, and I was like, like nobody's around me to like help.
So did you just write Happy Saturday?
No, so I was gonna just wait till Monday, like when I got back to work and I could ask for help. But I was like, you know what? I got this. I'm a modern woman. I could do this, you know? And then like literally I sent it and just crickets.
That's so funny. You're so cute.
It was so benign too. Like it wasn't an aggressive move. It wasn't like let's meet up or anything. It was
He's missing out.
Thank you so much. You're I think welcome. So too.
You're like, hey, here's my number. What's yours? So weird he didn't respond.
What is your current address? Weird. I didn't get a response.
So your advice to people on the dating apps is just witty, funny, don't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, and okay. Be yourself, because if it doesn't work, then that's not the person for you. You know, like we're always trying to do it perfect, but like that doesn't work, you know, like then.
Well, that's the thing
that's
with
the
Tanya.
Key, be yourself, because it's like if I were to open up with a joke, I can't keep that up. I'm not a jokester.
Well, that's what I was saying. The thing with Tanya is like we all collectively do help her when she asks or even when she doesn't ask. But the whole thing is like you have to be who you are because that's who they're going to be dating eventually.
Yeah, you can't hide it for too long.
Yeah. No, you really can't.
It comes out.
Right. Yeah. If you'd gone on a date with Josh Groban, you couldn't bring the whole staff along.
Could you imagine?
I mean, y'all could actually put an earpiece in
and
make that work.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we probably could have made that work somehow.
That'd be a great podcast. You should do that. Like undercover dating.
Yeah.
On your book, there is a part that says, discovering that your boyfriend likes boys.
Oh, yeah. That's what you want to know?
Yeah.
We all want to know. I was in a very public relationship, which we were talking about, for almost 4 years.
Public meaning he's a public figure?
He is. His name is Shane Dawson. He's a huge YouTuber.
What?
And that was my boyfriend for 4 years.
Why do I know that?
Yeah.
I talk about him a lot.
You do?
Yeah.
He's
but
like
I
the
recently
king of YouTube.
Just started watching his like conspiracy videos and all that.
Yeah, he wrote the foreword to the book.
Yeah.
I took his virginity. And then he came out of the closet. So think about what that did to my mind.
Oh, that's when things...
So that's when therapy really kicked in strong. So we had a very public online relationship.
For 4 years?
For 4 years. People loved us as a couple. We had merchandise. We lived together. And it was all very genuine. I mean, really, we grew so much together just as in our 20s. And I think I turned 30 during that relationship. So, and then things weren't going very well, just like normal relationships. And he was going through a lot. And so we split, but we pretended to have our relationship for a full year.
Whoa.
Because we weren't really done. Like we hadn't figured out really. And we like just loved each other so much. And I talk about this extensively in the book, but... So we kind of faked a relationship for a year, which was devastating and horrible. But we wanted to process everything before we went public because we knew how that was going to go. And it was really scary. It was scary. And I hated that I had to process what it would do to my social, to my work.
Isn't that such an interesting element that comes into play?
Yeah. It's not fair.
I know.
It was so much to process just the breakup. And then, oh my God, what is this going to do to my YouTube channel? Which felt like a really selfish thing to have to think about. But it was also my life.
Your business.
And then towards the end of that year, he came out to me as bisexual. And so then I had to process that. And then he decided to make a video and go public with everything. And that was difficult for me because there wasn't a lot of warning that that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it all worked out. But it's in the book very detailed. It's a lot. But now we're best friends and everything's great. And he's engaged to a man who's lovely. And I've met someone that's lovely. So
right, it all works out.
But at the time, it was heavy.
Oh, my God. Well, I on a much smaller scale, because I know like YouTube couples, it's like this insane fandom that people are obsessed. They're obsessed with you individually, but then together it's like this powerhouse.
But don't you think that's it feels very similar to the Bachelor world?
Yeah. And I remember I mean, I still do feel like it is a smaller scale, but my last relationship was really public. And I remember processing, knowing that it wasn't working and being like, am I going to let people are going to be disappointed? Like, what's going to happen?
Pick sides?
Are they going to like still care about what I'm doing without having a significant other to post about? And it's like weird because I remember actually having that thought, being like, this is so weird that I'm even considering this when my heart is like in someone else's heart.
Yeah.
Is involved. But it is. It's
so layered
pressure on there. That's, you already feel this pressure. And then on top of that, it's a heavy, heavy thing.
Yeah. It's wild. But it turned out okay. And like, our fans were so kind. Like, so kind and supportive of both of us. So I worried for a whole year and it turned out okay. Yeah.
I know. Like, it's funny. If you were to go back and when you guys realized that the relationship was over, do you wish you would have done it differently?
No. I think we did us. I think we loved each other so much on such like a family level, which sounds kind of gross, but like that we were just, we couldn't process how to split without splitting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we wanted to be in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. We knew that for a fact, but we needed to navigate how that would work.
Yeah.
And so I think it was just a time. It just took time.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, it didn't affect your YouTube, like, nothing.
I mean, there's trolls out there. I remember like reading that night that he made the video, like, oh, there goes her like relative. Like, now she's not going to be relevant anymore. And I just like, of course, like,
right, you're going to get a few
of course. And he's always going to be more popular because he's the king of YouTube and he's brilliant, you know? So I don't know. I'm still here. I'm still doing YouTube. I mean, so
yeah.
I guess I'm doing okay.
Yeah. I think you're just fine without him. But I love that you're able to maintain a cordial like split, and then he's literally wrote the foreword for your book.
Yeah, it's kind of full circle and beautiful and wonderful, and yeah. It's life, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now you're in a thriving relationship.
And now I'm in a thriving, and he loves women, just women.
Just
I
women.
Asked so many times at the beginning. Like, not like, it's totally cool if he like wants to experiment, but right. Like, let me know now. I can't do that again.
I know. I bet that's probably very traumatizing.
Yeah, it kind of made me feel like, because obviously we were having some like issues in our sex life, mm-hmm. and it made me feel like, am I undesirable? Mm-hmm. Am I right. not sexy? And like, it definitely did like a mental thing for me that I was quickly able to then be like, oh no, this is a separate thing.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, I almost, going through those feelings of wondering like, am I not good enough? Does he not find me attractive? And then having that realization of, it's not me.
Yeah. That's hard though.
I know.
But I think we always take thing like from our past relationships, we bring them like those insecurities and those things that happen into our new relationships.
Of course.
It's like a given.
Yeah. It's hard not to.
So hard not to.
But it's, if you can be self-aware about it and actually have that conversation with your partner, then that leads to like such a beautiful relationship. Cause it's like, listen, this is what I'm going through. These are my insecurities. And that way, like if something comes up, he or she could be like, we've talked about this. That's just your insecurity. That's not the reality. So
right.
I think being open about those things instead of trying to like shove them down.
Right.
Yeah. Does your boyfriend, current boyfriend, have any interest in like being a part of what you do? Or is he, does he do his own thing? And
he's a comedian. He does stand up and he teaches at the Groundlings. He's very funny.
Oh.
But he doesn't like want to have a YouTube channel. Thank God. But he'll be on mine like once in a while.
Okay. So he's like open to being a part
of
your...
Yeah. It's like the perfect, you know, version.
Yeah.
Like I've had my prior boyfriend was like hated being on camera and was like mad every time I turned it on, so that wasn't gonna work. So this is like a nice comment
in between. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have someone who's like at least supports and like understands what you do, even if they don't like need to be a part of everything.
Yeah,
but they're willing to be if you need them.
Exactly. And have a little bit of their own life too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, is he from here?
No, he's from New York.
Oh
yeah,
cute.
So cute.
Tanya's in the, she's dating right now.
Dating.
How is it going?
Good. Really good.
See, that's such a good attitude.
Yeah.
Because you know what you want, right?
For sure.
Don't you think? I think it's empowering to date in your 30s.
I can't even explain to you like the 360 that my mind has made.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, and I'm actually like looking at things that matter versus like, I remember when I like was first newly single, I like go out with somebody and he was like drinking his drink out of a straw. And I was like, ew, I can't go out with him again. Like, how embarrassing. Like, what did he order? Pina colada? Ew.
My boyfriend orders the girliest drinks and I've just
right
come.
Right now, you're right. And I'm like, I could care less. Yeah. Like, if you're a good human with a good heart, like, drink your straw. Use
yeah,
your straw.
Cute. Put your pinky out.
Right. Wear some weird sandals. Let me see those toes.
No. We got to have boundaries.
Right. I mean, it's not ideal, but like, if the heart's good, like, I can take a foot.
You can also change that later.
Totally.
Take a foot.
My boyfriend wore, he's going to be so mad that I told this story. I tell in the book too. He, when I first met him, he was dressed so terribly that I, like at first I was like, oh no. He was wearing an oversized leather jacket, which was like, okay, fine. But then he took it off and he was wearing like a Jonathan Taylor Thomas style, like vest over a t-shirt.
Ew.
And I was like, this isn't gonna work for me. But then like our conversations were great and then we ended up like having like a hot makeout session and I like really quickly like choked the vest off and like I was like, there you go, and like shoved it under the bed.
We don't know. That's the thing. We don't know.
We need us to dress
you. Yes, we're lost without you.
That's fair. Yeah. Just like burn the vest.
Don't
guys,
write a guy off for fashion because he's just clueless and he can be taught and trained.
Yeah, right. That is true.
You know who I think is a great example of that is Jared Haben.
Mm. Oh, did he used to dress bad?
He just was like not.
Just Patriots just t-shirts.
Like,
and,
yeah, just like whatever, really? You know? But weirdly, when he moved in with Nick Vial, he like really upped his game. And then when he started dating Ashley, it was like game changer. So it happens.
Yeah, and
now
it's possible.
They're happily ever after married.
Yeah. Do you guys go to the wedding?
Yeah, we did.
How was it?
It was awesome.
Aww, it was awesome.
So it was just so, their story so great.
I love that story. It gives us all hope.
Totally. Yeah. I know, it really does. Okay, so your book is available everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere, right?
Everywhere. It's also, I did the audiobook as well.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah. And it's 30 Life Crisis, Navigating My 30s, One Drunk Baby Shower at a Time.
You know it.
Yeah, I do know it. Yeah. Too well. All too well.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me. You guys are great.
Okay, well, I want to talk about article because I ordered the cutest stuff for my patio from Article. And
the patio you had to get ready before, what's his name came to town?
Dr. Screen Time, which actually never truly got, I haven't finished it yet, but it is. I have hired my Melrose company and they are coming in and like really just going to clean sweep it for no post.
Bless you, Becca. Wow.
I turned the mic off for that,
and
no?
Still, we all heard it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Getting it ready for Senor. However, furniture shopping is not the greatest. There's over-eager salespeople, poor quality pieces. Not the case with Article. They decided that they wanted to change the way that people shop for furniture. And instead of schlepping to a warehouse to shop for particle board, Article's online catalog features high-quality pieces that you can browse right at home.
I was able to get my friend Marla a couch for her living room, and it has changed the whole atmosphere of her like apartment. It's this green velvet couch. She's obsessed with it. It looks amazing, and she said it's super comfortable. So, and she said the delivery process was flawless.
Don't get me
seamless.
Started on the delivery men.
Oh, please.
They were amazing.
Get started.
They were like truly amazing. I even said, I was like, why are you guys so amazing? They were like, well, Articles just...
But what really... did they do? What made them amazing?
So normally when I get furniture dropped off, they just like drop it in front of my door and they're like, here you go. Or they'll like bring it in. They don't like really... Like these guys like took it up all the way to my balcony, put it out where they like where I needed it to be, took it out of the box, assembled it for me and like placed it exactly where I wanted it to go.
Nice.
They were so nice.
Well, the thing is, Article's team of designers, they have an eye for today's trends, but they focus on the timeless design and great quality. So you could find something super trendy that's like great for right now, but it's also something that you could have forever. And in-stock items ship in 2 weeks or less.
Article is the easiest way to make your space look beautiful. They're able to keep their prices low by cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you. So no showrooms, no salespeople, and no retail markups.
Also, they have fair prices. Save up to 30% over traditional retail prices. Fast, flat rate shipping is available across the USA and Canada starting at just $49 with free basic shipping on orders over $999.
All in-stock items are delivered in 2 weeks or less, and then the 30-day return policy with simple returns and exchanges. So Article is offering our listeners $50 off of their first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/Becca, and the discount code will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/Becca to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Once again, article.com/Becca. Okay, so I'm really sensitive to sound, like that are made with the mouth, like smacking noises.
There's a name for
chewing
this.
Misophonia.
Yeah,
I have it. So I was with my significant other the other day, and we were in the car, and I got pretzel bites at the mall yesterday, which is another story because I tried on clothes and was like so dark about nothing fitting, and I was like, I need something to lift me up right now. And so I went and got pretzel bites because that was going to help the problem. But it did make me feel great. I felt so much better. I was like, whatever. Yeah. Because they were fresh. Anyways.
Man, those are good.
We're in the car.
Tanya's got her nose like she smelled something gross.
It's just
but
like
seriously,
fake. It's like fake.
It is
disdain.
Fake.
I agree.
I don't believe it.
I would not want pretzel bites.
If you tried a pretzel bite, you would love it.
Yeah, it's fake disdain.
And you can eat one. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah, I know. But like, I would rather if I'm going to eat, like if somebody was like, I need you to eat like a complex carb, I'd be like,
no one's for this is just offering a fresh pretzel bite and you're
it's
gonna
so
love it
good.
And you're gonna be like, this is delicious.
Really?
But,
and by the way, I probably was with you at one point. I'm like, yeah, that's not interesting because I don't like big soft pretzels. They're not
right,
no,
the bites.
No, pretzel bites are different.
They're
pretzel
this
bites.
Big and I'm holding up about two, maybe an inch and a half of thumb to pointer finger size. And they're perfectly buttered and perfectly salted. And I literally watched her take them out and put them into the little, so they were
was
fresh.
Was it Wetzel's?
Wetzel's.
Yeah, man.
They're unparalleled. So anyways, we're in the car and I hear this loud chewing. It wasn't, the mouth was closed. So it was just a pure
chew.
And I was about to lose my mind. And I was thinking, I was like having to breathe through it. And
you didn't say anything?
Yeah. I mean, it was acknowledged, but like, I didn't want to be mean, you know, like at some like, it'd be different if the mouth was open, but the mouth was closed. So, like, what are you supposed to do at that point?
Right. How do you say, like...
How do you say, like, stop it or I'm going to launch myself out the window?
I deal with this, too, from the other way because my wife has this as well. And so, if I'm chewing with my mouth open, that's on me. But if I'm chewing with my mouth closed and you're annoyed by it, I think that's on you. I think you have to get over
maybe
that.
Maybe you can turn the volume up in the car.
Why is your chew so loud when your mouth is closed?
It has to do, I'm sure, with the nature of my head and the way the sound travels within my skull. But there's nothing I can control.
Do you notice that it's super loud? When
no,
you're
please
I'm just
tell me
chewing.
What did you say?
I literally just sat and sat after I acknowledged it. I was like,
but how did you acknowledge it?
I was like, that sound is overwhelming to me. And we started laughing, and I thought it would get better, or maybe there would be a more gentle version of the chew, but it didn't get better.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do in that situation.
I would
just
turn
me.
The music up. And be like, okay, then.
Yeah, I'm just
chewing.
I think I'm
that
chewing
was
respectfully.
Thing. It was like silent, so it was loud. I was calling a nail salon trying to make an appointment, and I couldn't
focus
because of the chewing. And I was like, this is something that could end relationships.
If we're getting in the car to go someplace and I grab an apple, she's like, oh no. Yeah. I'm like, oh, come on. You eat apples in the car. It's no big deal. Nobody cares. I can't eat apples in the car.
Because Amy and I are gentle chewers.
No, you're not.
I bet you're not a gentle chewer.
No, I am because I'm so aware of it.
I bet you're not because you're not. It's like smell. You're not aware of your own smell.
I'm going to eat a fry.
You're probably not aware of your own.
No, fries don't count. Yeah, when my wife eats
like
an apple, it sounds like when everybody else eats an apple. It
right.
sounds exactly the same. Yes, we can't hear you chewing
your
fry.
Hold on, because
fry.
You're... No, now she's like soft.
This
no,
is like
put it
an
back
ASMR
in.
Video.
Put
of
one
Becca.
Back in. Put a fresh one in right now, and nobody talk.
All right, here
put
we go.
A fresh one in.
No, maybe do a carrot.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, do a carrot. All right, here we go.
But you're gonna have to eat a carrot too, so we can hear
Fine.
The difference.
Okay, great.
So loud.
It's pretty loud, but not in a bad way. Your
what
mouth
do you
closed.
Want? What do you want? What do you want us to do?
All right, give me. Let's see if mine's louder than hers.
I don't like carrots.
All right, here we go.
So aggressive.
The same.
No way. He is being a gentle chewer right now. I can tell.
I'm not. I'm just eating a carrot.
Yeah. Tastes the same.
Tori said mine was quieter.
It was not quieter. Mine was faster.
No, yeah. I do like the rhythm of your chewing better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened? Mm. Is you tried to become a gentle chewer.
No.
But when you're in the not thinking about it or put on a microphone, you probably are like,
Believe
I'll show
me.
You what you're probably like.
Isn't it weird what like random things irk your pickle?
Yes,
like,
it is.
It's so funny to me because I could care less. I don't think I would ever pick up on somebody's chewing, but I'm sure there's way other weird things that like irk
what
me.
What do you pick up on?
I'm trying to, what?
No, I'm mad at Tori for not taking my side in the chewing competition.
I'm trying to think what irks my pickle. Who are you texting right now? That is so important.
I'm putting my lunch order and I have to go to the airport.
I think we have
right
an answer.
This whole time, I'm like, hello.
I'm putting in my Jersey Mike's order.
Jersey Mike's? So Senior Butterfly doesn't chew in a way that annoys you. There's nothing like that about him so far.
So far.
Because it'll come.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're 22 years
totally.
And the chewing's annoying.
Yeah,
I get
yeah.
it. It happens.
But I'm trying to think of like other things. That annoy people, like subtle things.
They'll come.
Snoring.
I was
no snore. No
but,
snoring.
But are you annoyed by that?
Snoring. Also, it could end relationships.
That would be bad. Is it? How can you imitate the snore? Come on, give us a.
Yeah, I actually have a video.
play the audio.
Oh, great. Have you ever dated someone with a snore, Tanya?
Yes.
And has it driven you crazy?
Crazy.
Oh wow.
Because I'm a light like. The tiniest thing can wake me up. Like, yeah. If I'm sleeping and my shower, like, just drips a little bit, I'll hear it and I'll have to shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, snoring's no
bueno.
While
she's getting the video. So, last December, I had, what do you call it? Surgery I had, Easton. What do they call it?
Septum?
People get a nose job, but it's not.
A deviated septum.
I had the deviated septum surgery. And not a fake nose job, an actual deviated septum surgery. And one of the reasons was my snoring, because it was driving my wife crazy. And honestly, just the fact that anyone would consent to share a bed with me is such an honor that I didn't want her to have to deal with that snoring. So that's too bad. So I had it done. And it's been really great. I breathe much better through my nose, and the snoring went away, and that was great. Snoring's back.
Oh, no.
It was 9 months, and the snoring started to come back.
But aren't there like clips and stuff that you can put in your nose while you sleep?
Well, yeah,
sleep
they have those like nasal strips, and I've been doing those again now for her. But I'm bummed out about it because I went through this whole surgery for this purpose, and now it's come back. And
can you go to your doctor and be like, WTF?
No, because he told me this is all the next step, which is he does not recommend to anyone because the recovery is so awful. This is literally your marriage is ending if you don't figure out snoring. They will shave your uvula.
That sounds painful.
Because it vibrates, and that's what's called.
That's that noise, yeah.
That's not
you
in your
that,
vagina?
Nope, that's
oh
your vulva.
Oh, my God, Tanya.
I don't think you have one of those.
No. You have a uvula. I'm not shaving it, so we'll have to figure something out.
And wow.
Do you have the video? I was vamping.
I'm like struggling to find it, but I can do a...
Okay, let's hear it.
So it used to be like loud and...
Like mouth open?
Both.
Oh,
it happened both. And now it's more, and this doesn't, it was happening like consistently every night. And now it's like, it's, you know, only certain times. But it's like, oh, hearing that back over the microphone gave me PTSD. Yeah. But then sometimes it's like
that's
gentle
it?
And it's like, just like a, like
give
a
me gentle
soft,
one.
Oh, I can't do it. Wait, no, I can't. It's something like that.
Okay, I can handle that.
Yeah, that's fine because I can sleep through that. But like that.
Do you snore?
No, I only snore when I'm like exhausted, but like I'm not a consistent snorer.
I wonder if I snore.
You wouldn't know. It's been a few years.
I feel like Senor just sits up and watches you as you're snoring. He's like, what do I do? That's why he hasn't asked to have the conversation, because he doesn't know if he can commit to the snoring.
I don't know.
I snore and I talk in my sleep. That's something Allison's been complaining about a lot. She wants me to get a CPAP machine to stop both of those things.
Oh, jeez. That's like a major commitment.
Yeah.
Wait, what is that?
It's like it's for people who have like sleep apnea, like where you're like choke in your sleep pretty much, and it like helps like regulate your breathing, but it can help with like intense snoring.
But it's like a Darth Vader mask. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this big mask. There's like equipment you have to haul around with you. I don't want to take that route if I don't have to.
Nothing like doing a little hanky panky and then putting your mask.
Excuse me. Yeah. Let me take off my mask.
You think your health guard is bad.
Oh my God.
All right, should we get to these emails?
Yes.
From Anonymous. And they always say such nice things in these emails, but they love the show and they feel like Tanya and Becker are so true to themselves. She loves how honest and raw you are when you open up and share about your life. Anyway, she's asking for advice on how not to get advice from her friends. Sometimes her friends share opinions and advice about her relationship that she didn't ask for, and it's not always nice. Mm-hmm. One of my friends is always real standoffish about my boyfriend, but it's not because of anything she did. He just isn't the type of guy she would date. Mm. My boyfriend's amazing. He treats me well. I never complain. How do I get them to stop giving me their negative input?
Stop being friends with them.
Wow.
Oh, that's drastic.
Bye.
Bye. I mean, everyone's going to give you an opinion. No matter what, I feel like in every aspect of your life, like everyone has an opinion about everything. That's what we're in the age of opinionisms.
I know, but is there a way to stop them from sharing them? Because like
the thing is, unless I say, what's your opinion about this? Don't say it if it's not nice.
But similarly, there's no way. Like if somebody says, hell yeah, it was great meeting, Senior Butterfly the other day. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. You need to talk to him about his beard. It just doesn't work or whatever.
Right.
I don't think there's no way for you to say, I didn't ask you for your opinion without causing a real problem there.
Right. I would not like that.
This is a dilemma. I don't know what you should do.
Yeah. I'd be like, thanks.
I feel like I've had to have this conversation or just like had it in general of being like, especially if he's a great guy and treats her well, it'd be different if he was like, you know,
scumbag.
But I think she should say, hey, I know that you love me and you want the best for me, but I'm really happy. I'm with someone who treats me well, and your comments make me not want to be around you as much because I don't want to hear negative things about someone, the person that I love. Mm-hmm. And I think you can say it in a very nice way that's very respectful, but I think you owe it to yourself and to your significant other who's great to you to stand up for yourself. In your relationship.
Is there anything to the fact that maybe he is a scumbag and she hasn't figured that out yet? Because your friends sometimes know best. Not always.
True. It could be a possibility.
Is there any reason for her to kind of open herself up to their opinions, or is that just going to sabotage what could be a good thing?
I mean, I think, take a look at your relationship and what she's saying and see if it rings true if you really take a deep look. But if not, then I think you should just politely say, buzz off.
Yeah. And or just like not let it affect you. And I know that's really hard to say. It's a lot easier said than done, but
it's going to affect their friendship though. Like she's going to not want to hang out with her.
Right. But like, don't let it affect your relationship.
That's what I'm saying. But you don't want to lose your friend when you could just have a conversation and clear the air. At least give it that the chance. Mm-hmm. And then if it doesn't happen, then you maybe separate yourself.
I found that whenever my parents didn't like a girl I was dating, they were always right in retrospect. But when you're in it, you fight it.
Right.
Anonymous says she loves the show. Listening to the podcast has made her feel better about herself. She's 32, single, no kids. The majority of her friends are in relationships, married, or have kids. I think this is something Tanya's mentioned before. I felt like I'm behind so many times and then I'll never find someone. Listening to Tanya, I don't feel so alone and I feel there is hope for me. My question is mainly for Tanya. I recently left the church I grew up in. Most people don't know I left, including my family, because people make a big deal about leaving. I want to go to a more relaxed, non-denominational church, one where I feel at home and welcome. But it's hard. I get nervous about how different it is from what I'm used to. Mm-hmm. I need to bring God into my life more, and I'm not sure how to go about it. I need your advice.
That's interesting because I did this exact same thing. I wanted to go. I grew up in church and in my adult life, I found God again in my adult years, and I wasn't getting from church, my traditional church that I had been going to, what I get out of church now. And I think for me, it was like a hard conversation with my parents, because it was like I was not like leaving what I had grew up in. But I think it was hard for them to understand, like, I almost felt like I wasn't proud of my culture, where I came mm-hmm. from. And that's not the case at all. I'm very proud to be Serbian and where I came from, where my parents came from. And I will hold on to those traditions. But for me, being a part of a church and being a part of a community, now at this stage in my life where I'm actually getting, like, it's like food for my soul, and I'm doing life with people, and I'm like, I just feel so encouraged and inspired by the people around me, and it's just really digestible. It's just a different feeling. And so I think you have to do what's best for you. You know, like, I think we spend our lives trying to make everybody around us happy or based on our decisions. And I think ultimately you have to do what feels right for you, no matter whose feelings it hurts.
And how do you go about finding a church that works for you? Is it trial and error, or is it recommendations? Is it Yelp?
I think it's trial and error. I went to a couple churches really when I first started like going out here in LA until I really like found my home. And I think it's a process. So just give yourself some time for sure.
Yeah. It's to chime in on that.
Are you done texting now?
I'm leaving to go out of town for a week today. I have a lot happening, and I leave in like 2 hours.
Well, my wife and I went through this when she first moved here in 98. We did this. We jumped around church to church trying to find one that was comfortable. And it was a weird coincidence. Everyone we went to seemed to choose that day to tell everyone how awful gay people were. And so then we immediately crossed that one off the list. But that was good. I'm glad they told us right up front where they stood on that, so we could move on to find another one. We found a great place in Van Nuys that we just adored. And I thought of it a lot lately, because we went there on 9/11, because they called everybody together like, hey, we don't know what's happening or what to do, so everybody come on in. And the pastor spoke, and it was really lovely, and we felt that sense of community.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
Yeah, it is hard to like do, like make the decision that you feel like people are going to be disappointed in.
This is a really struggle for me and my parents.
Yeah, feel that.
All right, thank you to Shake Shack. They sent over the 100 fries for Becca. Yay,
and
Shake
like,
Shack.
Are these all gift cards? There's like, how many of
they
these?
They sent over some gift cards. There's some burgers.
$100 gift cards?
$100 worth of gift cards.
Oh my gosh.
100th episode.
That's so cute.
Thank you, Shake Shack. ShakeShack.com. They have 200 locations in 15 states and 16 countries. Find one near you at ShakeShack.com.
There's one in West Hollywood.
Was this our best episode ever? Because it was the 100th.
It was so good.
I'm very concerned about my snoring now. That's next on the agenda.
Are you going to roll? You should do is hit record on voice memo when you go to sleep, and then check it the next morning.
How creepy would that be?
Will it record the whole night?
Sure, well, no, yeah. but you could just find where the, you see the lines go up.
Mm-hmm. But would it record the whole night? Or when your phone goes to sleep, would it stop?
No, it records. I used to have a recording that was like for, I don't even know how many minutes.
Just by accident?
Yeah.
Wait, I might do that, actually.
Do it, and then let's play it next week on the show.
Okay.
How creepy if you saw the line spike and you listened and it wasn't snoring.
And it wasn't
just like white noise.
It's like a...
I'm going to do that.
Oh, I want... Before we go, there was something in the Facebook group I meant to mention because it was so incredible. Did you see this? This is a week ago or so now. Amy Moore posted, hey, my kitten just came up and peed right in front of me.
Yes.
What in the world's going on with that? Something's wrong with my cat. And then people were like, oh, maybe it's UTI. And then somebody said, I think you might be pregnant. She's like, no, what? You're kidding. We are trying. So she takes the test. She's pregnant.
It's wow. like kittens. So it's like cool. Kittens can like recognize it or something.
I guess so. But I just love that part of the scrubbing in Facebook group.
I love it too.
Somebody put that together. And sure enough. So congratulations, Amy Moore. You're having a baby.
I also feel like I want to talk about, because I feel like there was a lot of things that while we were like traveling and stuff that we didn't get to. I want to talk about when life disappoints you.
Ooh, big topic.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tease though. Next week on the show, when life disappoints you.
But I, want to talk about like doors closing, but that's meaning that like other doors are going to open for you.
Okay. And next week we're in Las Vegas, by the way, for the IRA.
Maybe
Radio
not
Music
next
Festival.
Week, but maybe the week after that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you don't want to talk about life disappointing you in Vegas.
Yeah.
Wait, we have some guests on our shows in Vegas, huh?
Who's coming on the show in Vegas, Romo?
Hold on 1 second.
Right. I feel like it's Tayshia and Teddy Mellencamp.
You are correct.
Woo! Woo!
There you go.
I haven't gotten to meet Tayshia. I'm excited.
She's awesome. She's awesome. She and I are friends, close friends at this point. I'm not joking.
That makes me jealous, Easton.
Well, it's okay.
The French, does she like fast food?
She does. She's a big Raising Cane's fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're lucky these roses are between us.
Yeah.
Well, thank y'all so much for the beautiful fries, flowers, celery.
Yeah, this is so, literally so LOL.
Like, thank so everyone good. That listens for getting us to 100th episode. That's
yeah.
really cool.
That's true. So many podcasts do not make it
yeah,
to 100 episodes.
Made it
so that's
to
awesome.
100.
Good really? Job. Oh, yeah. Right. That's something that we've produced, in fact.
Also, don't forget to vote for People's Choice Award.
Don't forget to vote for People's Choice Award.
PCA.eonline.com.
Yeah, we have swipe up links on every Instagram that you could possibly find. Becca's scrubbing in my own.
We need to do it again. We need to.
Two-peat.
It's just repeat. You know,
it's the two-peat.
No such thing as a two-peat.
And also, if you guys are around this weekend and you find yourself in front of the television on Sunday, please tune in to E's Live from the Red Carpet from the Emmys, 3 p.m. Pacific time. So I don't know what that means for your time zone.
They can figure it out from there.
But I'm freaking out.
Time of death? 12:50.